The scripture reading before this morning's lesson will be Hebrews 11, verses 23 through 26. Hebrews 11, 23 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward.
I'd like you to get a Bible out and open it to Exodus chapter 1, please. Exodus chapter 1 is where we will begin, and we'll spend virtually all of our time and the last verse of chapter 1 up through the 10th verse of chapter 2. On Mother's Day, I always try to highlight one of the Bible moms. I've done this 3 years running now, and I've enjoyed it very much. It's just kind of a fun study for me, and there's always lessons that you can learn from those who have done things well in the faith in the past. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We are going to look at a lady named Jochebed, who is Moses's mother. We've continued this series of Bible moms because, moms, we love you. And because we appreciate you, and because this morning and every Mother's Day, we want to encourage you with the words of God, the best gift that anybody can give anybody. I want to encourage you this morning, moms, to keep the main thing the main thing. And I think you'll see pretty clearly in just a few minutes, that's the lesson that you can easily learn from Jochebed. So let's begin reading. As Paul told Timothy, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. Let's start in Exodus chapter 1. In the very last verse of that chapter, verse 22, Pharaoh commanded all of his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. That's the historical backdrop for what happens starting in chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes, daubed it with bitumen and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the girl went, called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, because she said, I drew him out of the water. Well, two main things to show you then about Moses' mother from that story and from a couple of other things that the Bible tells us about her in passing. First, let's talk about who she was, and then second, let's talk about what she did. First thing out of the gate, and really no surprise to anybody, is that Jochebed was a mother. She is the mother of Moses, as we just read from this passage. She is the mother of two other children, Aaron and Miriam, before Pharaoh orders for all of the male children to be killed who are born to the Hebrews. Now, I know we could spend a little bit more time focusing on her relationship with Aaron and Miriam. There's probably a couple of things we could dig out of the scriptures from that. However, the vast majority of the focus is on her giving birth and giving rise to Moses. And so that's what we're going to focus on this morning. Her role is in bringing the greatest prophet that the Israelites ever had into the world. There is no doubt among the Israelites that they thought of Moses as the greatest prophet God sent them. He is the one who gave them liberty. He gave them a patriotic identity. He gave them the law, which made them unique in all the nations. Moses could talk, we could talk in another context about how their perspective on this man was either justified or not. We could do that. But the reality is that he was a great man among them and before them. And yet, before he became the great man that he was known to be, it was his mother whom the scriptures held up as a picture of faith, because she saved him from death. So who was Jochebed? Is she the kind of person that we ought to venerate and worship just as another great prophet's mother often is? No. I don't believe that's biblical in either case. But I do want to show you, Jochebed is a mother. And it's really all that we learn about her. But it's enough for the scriptures to hold her up as an example of faith. Being the mother of Moses, her memory defined by that role, and being a great mother at that. I want to talk a little bit more about what that means as we go through and what she did. But can I just point out that one of the reasons that she is so great is because she kind of makes a silk purse out of a sow's ear, right? The situation she's dealt is awful. And what she ends up doing with it is amazing. The situation is that she is a slave. She is born a slave under a violent oppression by another nation. I don't know how old Jochebed is in this story, but I do know that she is born among a nation who has been enslaved by another nation for nearly 400 years. So this is the situation that she's born with. And not only that, she's born under the ruling from her king that her son cannot live. And yet what she does with that because of her faith in God is the entire reason for the passage. The woman is a woman of God. She is a person who is defined by her relationship with Him. I think it's really interesting. We don't learn her name in this chapter. You notice that as we were reading through, nowhere does it mention Jochebed in those first 11 verses there. We learn her name from Exodus chapter 6. From Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, it simply says, Amram took as his wife Jochebed, his father's sister. She bore him Aaron and Moses. Now, you're proper Bible students, so you know that while names in our culture are often sort of a superficial kind of thing, we pick a name because it sounds pretty, you know that Bible names are often given because there is some deep significance to that, right? Well, the name Jochebed, as it turns out, means that God is her glory. That's a pretty significant attachment of a name right there. And by the way, anytime you see that in the scriptures, a lot of the time that you see that, you'll see a name that is built with the name of God in it in some way. And so if it begins with a J-O, J-A, J-E, a lot of the time it will have some connection to Yahweh, the name that God asked His people to call Him. And so Jehoshaphat, Joshua, and Joel are all examples of that happening. And while there are several of those names throughout the Bible, I'm making a point out of it to say this. Jochebed is the very first one. The first one in the entirety of Scripture who is her name is defined by the name of God. What is it that makes her worthy of admiration then? What is it that makes her a notable and beautiful woman? It is that her glory is the glory of the Lord. She is defined by reflecting the glory of God. And what a powerful statement, what a testament, what an identity for any woman that she is known and named by the almighty name of Yahweh. And there's more that probably I could make of a fact like that, and we'll talk more about it actually in just a few minutes. But for now, let's just take that as a small but powerful indicator of the greatness that she is given in her screen time on the biblical landscape. Her glory is in the Almighty God. That's who she is. A woman through whom God gave blessing to all His people. Not just the Israelites, but to all nations. And how did that happen? What did she do to let Him work through her so that the Lord would be her glory? Let me take the rest of the time that I've told you who she is to show you six things that she did. Six things, all very quick, to learn from her short but wonderful story. Number one, Jochebed valued her son. I know that in other places and times in a society, this is one of those things that we would expect could go without saying. But against the cultural backdrop of her day, a woman who saw the value in a male child, she stands out as someone who sees the value of God-given life. You notice in Exodus chapter 2, if you're still looking at the text, in verse 2, it says she saw that he was a fine child. The New American Standard Version says she saw that he was beautiful. And that statement is surprisingly significant. Significant enough that it's quoted two other times in the Scriptures, both in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, as she is described in the Scripture that was read for us a little while ago, as she is described there, it says she saw that he was a beautiful child. I find this one interesting. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 20, as Stephen is preaching the history of the Israelites, Moses was born and he was beautiful in God's sight. That is a statement right there about the sanctity and value of human life in the eyes of God. And as I say, Jochebed's knowledge of that sanctity and value of human life, it makes her stand out against the backdrop of her society. But that same statement, if it were said about any of us anymore, that makes us stand out against the backdrop of our society. That we value human life and we see it as a sanctified and holy thing given by God. You think times were barbaric when Moses was an infant, when they were just killing all the male children? Well, they were barbaric. You think they're not equally barbaric anymore in our society when we are killing children? And yet Jochebed shows us somebody who's a wonderful example of faith and motherhood as she reminds us that a person with faith in God will see every life is beautiful in the eyes of God. She valued her son. And so that leads us to the second one. She protected her son. Exodus chapter 2, the last phrase of verse 2, she hid him for 3 months. Now, I don't want to presume to know more about the situation than what I really do know. But I will tell you, that seems to me like it would be really hard to do. To keep a kid hidden for 3 months. And I'll tell you what seems to me to be the most difficult aspect of that. Would be the constant need to check over your shoulder, right? The constant need to live in fear and to constantly, you know, be worried the baby is going to be found, constantly wondering what's going to happen to the rest of us if they find out we're keeping him here. That just sounds exhausting to me, that she is essentially living behind enemy lines, as it were. And it's a lot of sacrifice for a person, for her to give for a person who can do nothing for her in return. Moses has nothing that he can offer as a gift to thank her at this point. It's an awful lot of sacrifice. And that's what she does. And it serves as a beautiful example for us, I think, in two important ways. Number one, she is willing to make sacrifices for her kids. I know the running joke that the main reason you have kids is to have somebody to work the farm and take care of you when you're old. I get that. My dad has told me that his entire life. It's starting to play out. Okay. I understand that that's the way we look at it. But can I point out realistically that it is years before the relationship develops to that point? And in the years that it takes to get to that point, the parents provide for the children in a way that the children just cannot reciprocate. Especially young children. Don't get me wrong, they're cute. I get that. But it's not exactly a quantifiable benefit. What does all of that cuteness cost? It costs sleepless nights. It costs the monotony of endless laundry and diapers. The stress of constantly fearing the worst. It costs money. And money. And money. It costs us our me time. We set aside our favorite hobbies for a while. And children are usually why we can't have nice things. It's just the way that it goes. But why are we willing to, for that to be, or why are we okay with that? I'm going to tell you, for people of faith, We're okay with that. Okay, because kids are cute. I get that. But there's a much deeper reason. For people of faith, we're okay with that because God was willing to make sacrifices to protect and nurture His children. And we take from that an example that we ought to be willing to make sacrifices to protect and nurture our kids too. And in doing that then, we must learn from Jochebed's example when she protected her son from evil. Now I know that in her case, she was physically protecting his life from evil. But I'd like to point out to you that in this text, there is a definitive spiritual component to what she does as well. Throughout the rest of the Bible, the concept itself of Egypt, God will hold that up again and again as a euphemism for evil itself, for the oppression that his people are under. And so as Jochebed protects Moses' very life, she paints us a picture of us as parents protecting the souls of our children from wickedness and the world. I've said it before and I will say it again. The goal of parenting is ultimately to raise our children so that one day they will stop being children. That's the goal of parenting, to impart maturity on them. But let's just be honest about the fact that that kind of maturity requires us to give training in stages. And in the early stages of developing maturity, we must protect our kids from the evil influences that the world will put in their path. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23, he wanted the Corinthians to be infants in evil, to have so little knowledge of it and so little experience with it that they will be like infants. And we want, I think, the same for our children. And so we must stay aware of what they observe in us and in others. We need to do our best to keep them from entertainment content or from people that will mar their minds with ungodly violence, immoral sexual activity, unholy hatred, sinful prejudice, judgment-fueled speech, disobedience to parents, and a host of other things that we just don't want our kids to learn. Now, we can't always do that, and we shouldn't always do that. At some point, part of developing their own faith means that they must face their own temptations and lean on the Lord for His strength. So at some point, they have to be able to face their own issues. But as Jochebed protected her son from evil when he was very small, I think there is a very good lesson for those of us with small children, especially. But just for those of us with children in general, that we protect their souls from the influence of the evil one. It is one of the crucial components of bringing them up to maturity, one which we'll come back to in just a minute. Let me give you then the most obvious one, I think, from Jochebed, the lesson from what she did in raising her son, and that is that she gave her son to God. That whole act of building the ark for her son, making it out of bulrushes and leaving him in the reeds near the river, that is an act that takes immense faith. And yes, that's what goes in the study guide right there. It takes immense faith. Her faith is what made her willing to do that because she feared God. Now, if that worked in her case, how much more when we have already seen God's promises come true, should we be willing to give our kids in faith to Him? And that means giving them over to God, actually trusting that God's way of doing things is best. I know how many different places you can get bad advice as a parent. I know how many different voices will tell you that they need to be able to make their own decisions about any number of important things from religion to gender. However, when we give our kids to God, we must be willing to listen to what God says about everything. And so whatever is before, let me say it this way, before we read any of the mommy blogs, before we go on Pinterest and see what parenting ideas are trending, before we go to parenting classes sponsored by the local school system, before we go to parenting magazines, before anything from a TV doctor. I'm not saying necessarily instead of, but I am saying before any of those things, we get our parenting advice from the Word of God. And let me offer two pieces of advice in that regard that will help all of us, moms and dads. Number one, listen to what God says when He says that some things are important and others aren't. Listen, it really does not make sense for a person of faith to read 18 blogs about what type of cotton our kids' bed sheets should be made out of, and then to overlook or downplay the Proverbs of Solomon and all of their inerrant wisdom contained there. It just doesn't make sense. Some things don't matter, and God's Word will tell us what those are. And some things matter immensely, and His Word will tell us what those are as well. And then secondly, second piece of advice here goes right off of that one. Read the Proverbs. Read the Proverbs of Solomon. There is just so much good there. Now, I understand that when we do that sort of thing, we're inherently having to take a step of faith. That's just what we have to do, right? What if I discipline my kids the way the Scriptures say and they hate me for it? Listen, you can be afraid of that on the front end. Let it stop you from doing it. But that's not what a person of faith does with the Word of God. A person of faith will look at the Word of God and will say, okay, I believe that it will work because it is His plan. And so we act in faith. And that brings us then to the next one here, that as Jochebed gives her son to God, it turns out that she was blessed to be able to raise her son herself. There's a little detail of the story that makes this point, and yet somehow it's very easy for us to overlook. Take a look again at Exodus 2 and look at verses 9 and 10. Pharaoh's daughter said to Jochebed, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took him and nursed him. And when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And Pharaoh's daughter gave him the name Moses. I find it very interesting that until he was nursed, until he was weaned, he was with his own mother. Now, I don't know how long exactly that was, but if circumstances were very much like the modern experience, it was long enough for him to learn his first words. It was long enough to teach him Mama and Abba in Hebrew and to recognize the faces that go with those words. It's long enough for him to learn to recognize a handful of songs, and song can be a powerful tool in teaching good theology. And it may have even been long enough for him to be taught to recognize a few important words from the frequently told stories of the Hebrews. Words like Abraham, Israel, Joseph, Promised Land, and most importantly, God. Now, I know that I'm speculating in all of that, but it is apparent that for one reason or another, Moses knew who his people were. And so just the detail that Jochebed got to be the one who nursed him and brought him up brings the whole thing full circle in a very pleasing way. I really don't have too much to say about this point that I haven't said before, except this, and this actually I think is something I've said from this pulpit before, and it is that both fathers and mothers have a responsibility to impart maturity to our children. And especially since we are people of faith, we have a responsibility to impart the maturity of faith to our children. The specific methods of doing that will vary from household to household, but three core tenets must remain there all the time, and here they are. If we are going to impart the maturity of faith to our kids, it must begin with a consistent example of godliness. That in every situation, you do what's right, and they see that in you. Secondly, you must talk about spiritual things in your house. It's just the way that it has to go. When you lie down, when you rise up, when it is an easy time, when it's time to get up and do something, you talk about spiritual things. It's part of the fabric of who we are. And then thirdly, relationships must be centered in God. Relationships must be centered in God. I was on the phone with somebody just last night, and I heard them say this. They said, obviously, I know our physical family should mean more to us than our spiritual family, dot, 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 dot. And as I heard it, I thought, you know, the New Testament doesn't teach that. I'm not saying that our physical family doesn't matter, but I am saying that our spiritual family matters that much. And so the relationships that we have in our families are strengthened by the fact that we are in Christ together. And the relationships that we have as a church family are strengthened because we are in Christ together. And a godly home where we are raising our kids to maturity, they will see that. And they will begin to value these relationships in a very good way as well. Two more quick ones here for you, very, very quick, about Jochebed. She is blessed through her son. I had originally titled this point, "She is blessed by her son." And I did that referring to the fact that she is actually paid by the Egyptian royal family to nurse her own kid. Ever thought about the backwardsness of that part of the story? She gets paid by the royal family to take care of the son whom she was protecting in the first place. And so I realize, you know, it's not really Moses that's the blessing to her here. It is God who is blessing her through Moses. Because God is the only one who can be in control of all of those facets of the story to make that happen. Just as it is always the case, the boy Moses is a vehicle through which God sends his blessings. And so Jochebed is blessed by God through her son. And what a remarkable turn that presents to the story. Again, that she is actually paid to care for her son. The son whom she has hidden for the last 3 months, knowing that she is only a breath away from losing him. The son whom she had left alone at the mercy of the great river and all of her mortal enemies, the Egyptians, on that very same day. And the son to whom she must have assumed she was essentially saying goodbye to him for the last time. And now he is back in her arms and back in her care. And not only that, she's being paid to keep him there. What an amazing story. And it is so fascinating to me. It is so interesting to me. Because this is really the first time that God's people are shown to be plundering the Egyptians, which they will do again and again before the story is over. You remember when they leave under the direction of Moses by God's leading him, it says the Egyptians were essentially just offloading their jewels and their gold, right? Just go away. And isn't it fascinating that at the beginning of Moses' life, essentially the same thing is happening. We are giving our stuff away to the Israelites because they've already come to a place where God has put them ahead of us. And it's in doing that then, in the setup for his delivering his people, that we find the ultimate fulfillment of Jochebed's story, as in every demonstration of God planning something out. The ultimate fulfillment of it is always in Christ, and so is the case with Jochebed. She paves the way for the Son of God. Like so many of the great figures of the Bible, her real value on the landscape of history comes in the contribution she makes to bringing us to the Messiah. From Abel's perfect sacrifice to John the Baptizer's message of repentance, the greatest gift that anybody has given to humanity is to point us toward the coming Messiah. And so Jochebed's way of doing that, very much like Jesus' own mother, is to protect him in faith and nurture the one whom God will use to deliver his people. And I find this interesting because not only does she preserve his physical life so that later through his lineage there will be the Israelite, through the Israelite lineage will come Christ, but she preserves a spiritual lineage here as well. When she puts her son in the reeds of the Nile, she is essentially handing him over to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians are the bringers of death for the Israelites. She has put her son in the hands of death. Didn't God put his son in the same hands later on when he gave his son over to death? And then the nice thing about it is she receives her son back from death. God brings her son from Egypt back to her. Didn't God experience the same thing with his son, whom he handed over to death and then received him back? And then in Jochebed's case, that son becomes the one to deliver God's people. And I don't even have to make the connection there because you already see it, that Christ is the one who delivers his people. So maybe this is my main point for this morning, my number one takeaway for this lesson. In just doing what she did, Jochebed showed to her family a picture of God. By loving her son and by acting in faith, she showed them God. And so I hope that there's several things you can take away from this today, moms. But if there's only one, it is this. Point others to Christ and show them God in your home. I believe most obviously that starts with your children and with your husband. And so as you do that, I encourage you to have faith that it will work and that it is working because of His power. As I said, I try to do one of these studies every year about a Bible mom on Mother's Day. And it's interesting to me as I look back over last year as we talked about Mary, and the year before as we talked about Hannah, and then this year as we've talked about Jochebed. All three of them essentially boil down to the same basic ideas with a handful of different nuances. What's interesting about it, though, is that as we've studied these three women's stories, their stories all are kind of swallowed up by the stories of their children. And that, to my mind, is a picture of humility, godly humility. Not that God is overlooking these women or just using them as a stepping stone. God is telling the part of their story where they matter the most. And so maybe the lesson this morning, moms, is make sure that you define yourselves by what's important. We sang right before the sermon, in Christ alone, my hope is found. My peace is found. My joy is found. And so maybe there's more debt than you would like for there to be. Maybe the house is not designed by Joanna Gaines. Maybe your kids are kids, right? Maybe that's the case. But in dealing with all the stress of all of that, never ever lose sight of the fact that in your children's lives, what you are most meant to be is an example and a teacher of faith and to show them a picture of God. Jochebed's name carries a clear connection to the glory of Jehovah. Jehovah is her glory. And again, she's the first person in Scripture to have a name that is built into his name. How wonderful would it be? How wonderful would it be for when your children grow up, when they write the book about you, which, by the way, Moses wrote Exodus. When they write the book about you, that they say the Lord was her glory. What an awesome statement. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Thank you very much for your good attention to these things this morning. I hope that if there's somebody here today that has a spiritual need that you want to make known publicly, that you'll take an opportunity to do that, to come down forward to talk to either me or to one of the shepherds, or at the very least, you'll know who we are. And so you can catch us afterwards if you want to talk privately. We'd be glad to do that. Let's all stand together and let's sing this hymn.